and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's weekly podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking this week, as always, with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello and welcome, Ed.
Great to be back, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And you know what I realized? I forgot to ask you the Ed Edward question.
Oh,
do you prefer
that?
Ed or Edward?
Well, unless we change...
Mr. Ed.
Please. Dr. Ed, yes. Unless we change the name of our show to Higher Edward...
Okay.
You can call me Ed.
Okay. Excellent. Well, hey, you know what? I may have just failed at something, and that relates to this week's topic. We're going to be talking about failure. I could have failed with your name. Fortunately, I didn't. But actually, this week, we're going to be talking about failing and the importance of failing to success. Yes, that is what I said, the importance of failing to actually succeeding. Ed's going to help us untangle all of that in just a moment. But first of all, you're going to help us kind of keep our brains fresh. And you're going to introduce us to a math puzzler. And I am ready. Do I need pen and paper or am I okay just with my brain?
No, your brain is so great. It makes us all look awful. You know, this is a new year and it's time to really sharpen our brains and think about things. And so here is a little puzzler for you to share with your family and friends, not out of the question in terms of being too difficult, but the question really is, can you find a really clever solution?
Okay, clever. All right, I'm ready.
Here we go. You have 52, I'm sorry, let me see, failing. You have 56 biscuits.
Okay.
And they're to feed 10 pets.
All
56
right.
biscuits, 10 pets. Now, each pet is either a cat or a dog. That's easy.
Okay.
Now, each dog is given 6 biscuits, and each cat is given 5 biscuits. 56 biscuits to feed 10 pets, either a cat or a dog. Dog requires 6 biscuits. A cat requires 5 biscuits. The question is, how many dogs are there?
Okay, I don't have to know this right. I don't have to figure this out right this minute.
We're not going
to
give... Okay. No. Next, you have to stay tuned to the next episode.
Right.
It's a cliffhanger. We're teasing you.
Right.
We're tickling you.
Oh, I think I can get it. I just don't think I can get it like in 5 seconds.
Here's the thing. Here's the challenge. Can you get it without using any algebra? Just
no algebra.
Being clever. Yeah, just being clever and see if you could find a clever solution. That's what we're looking for. Everyone can answer the question. But finding the clever solutions was tricky.
Oh, excellent. All right. So we are going to get to the answer to that in the next episode. So you'll want to check that out of Higher Ed next week.
Stay tuned.
This week, though, we are talking about failing to succeed. I mean, Ed, I have to ask. So you're president of Southwestern University in Georgetown. You know, you're a professor. You've handed out grades for years and years. And, you know, we're always telling students, we're always telling people in our classroom, do your best, try to make an A. So why are we talking about failing? That's like the opposite end of the spectrum of where I thought, you know, higher ed folks were supposed to be.
First of all, I just want to make the record straight because we are recording this, I believe.
Yes.
I do not hand out grades. Grades are earned.
Okay.
Just to be clear.
Very good.
The news. I do not give a commentary. The truth is that failing is the most important thing we can do in order to succeed. And so when we talk about failing forward, as I like to call it, or failing to succeed, it really stems from the idea that the way to truly understand anything is to make the requisite mistakes in order to have a greater understanding of whatever it is. And we write about this, you know, with my colleague Michael Starbird in The 5 Elements of Effective Thinking. We have a whole chapter, one of our 5 elements, in fact, is on failing and how that's not a point of destination, but it's a way, it's an intermediate step. It's a requisite intermediate step to success. So it's not a place where you end, it's an intermediate move, a square that you land on, like a chessboard, that you quickly move off of.
So you're saying it pretty much has to happen to guarantee success. You said a requisite step. Okay, so you write about 2 different kinds of failure. So there's the accidental misstep, and then there's the intentional failure. So
everyone tells us
what those are.
Everyone talks about the accidental ones, how important it is that if you make a mistake, learn something from it. So everyone talks about that. By the way, I think I'm the only person in the country that grades it.
Wait, you grade failing?
Yeah. In my class, you take class with me, Jennifer, 5% of your grade is based on the quality of your effective failure. So to get an A, you have to fail effectively. It makes their heads explode.
Yeah, mine's about to explode. You're going to have to tell us a little bit more how you set that up.
Well, the way I set that up is by creating an environment in the classroom where students want to engage, take risks, throw out ideas, throw out answers where they're not 100% confident they're right, but realize they're moving the conversation forward. Because when a mistake is made, and what I'm now talking about and what you ask about is intentionally making mistakes, pushing things to the extreme, looking at things when you kind of go overboard and see what happens when you really exaggerate, all of a sudden, hidden structure becomes visible. And that's why we fail. When we fail intentionally, all of a sudden, we see a new insight. And when our students begin to embrace this mode of thinking, they all of a sudden become better thinkers.
Yeah, so you say when students begin to embrace this way of thinking, I got to ask, what is their response to this? Because I'm imagining a lot of them are coming to you and coming to Southwestern with the exact opposite training of do your best, try to get an A, and you know, failure an F, that's bad.
It's a lot of unlearning, and that's part of education, of course, is to unlearn the bad habits that one has. So it's a lot of unlearning, but it's my responsibility. And when I do work, when I work on workshops that I lead for teachers, I talk about how it is the teacher's responsibility to set an environment in the classroom where people are really invited. So when you make a mistake, Jennifer, I just don't say, oh, Jennifer, we love you. You'll still, you know, be great. Does anyone else have a guess? No. The response is, Jennifer, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong.
Right. And then I freak out.
No. Because now we ask the next question, which is, why is she wrong? And all of a sudden, you become the teacher. And it changes the dynamic of everything. So, but the fact that you made a mistake moves the conversation forward rather than set it back. And that's the insight that everyone has to embrace, even our listeners.
So mistake is good.
If we learn something from it.
Right.
If we make a mistake and we do nothing with it, that's ineffective failure, which I am not endorsing today or any day.
So I want to take this outside the classroom for just a minute and sort of ask about that. You know, we hear people talk about, when they talk about Little League or they talk about any sort of participatory activity with young people, is that kind of everybody gets a ribbon, you get a, you know, trophy for participating, and that...
Where's my trophy? I'm participating.
Right, exactly. I'll give you a trophy when we're done taping
today.
Thank
you very much.
So, you know, one argument against that is kind of what you're saying, which is that young people don't learn anything if all they get are, yay, 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 here's a ribbon, here's a trophy. I'm curious sort of how you might apply this idea about failing to that kind of in the wider world.
Remember that what I said earlier was that failing is an intermediate step. So this idea, this culture of everyone gets a trophy, in my opinion, so now I'm editorializing, I'm not speaking for KUT or even for Jennifer, but in my opinion, is not strong. All we should care about are the ends, the end results. What's the quality of the thinking that we offer? What's the quality of our creativity? Now, so when someone loses, when someone fails, when someone makes a mistake, we don't put them down, but we say, here's an opportunity for you to grow. No, you're not going to get a ribbon because you didn't win. But what did you learn from it? How do you come back even stronger? The ribbon, the gift, should really be the fact that I can use this setback as an opportunity to get even greater. And the next time out, I'm going to win. And then I get the ribbon. And that's the award. So the truth is that I'm outcome focused here. And thinking should be outcome focused and education should be outcome focused. But the question is, what's the outcome? The outcome is to invite people to flourish, to become their best selves, to become their greatest thinkers.
So I want you to walk us through a time when this happened to you, when you failed, you know, either intentionally or not. You can pick an example. And obviously you came out okay on the other end, because
you
must have landed on your feet at some
point. There are many people that disagree with that, but I appreciate that editorial that you slipped in there. Well, I failed at the top of our show. I said 52 and it was 56 biscuits, but that's a silly one. I'll give you a very serious one, which I do all the time. Every time I write, I fail.
Okay, what do you mean?
What I mean is that when you write a first draft, it's lousy. So whether I'm working on a book, whether I'm working on an article, whether I'm working on an address that I have to give, the first time you start writing, it's awful. And we don't think about that because, of course, we call that editing and revision, but that's all just failing. So maybe you don't like the F word, but that's okay. The truth is, what I'm talking about is a process, an iteration. You know, here's what I'd love. You know, everyone talks about Shakespeare. Oh, Shakespeare this, Shakespeare that. You guys talking NPR, it's all you talk about, Shakespeare. Please.
We had him on last week.
Of course.
It was a great interview.
He's amazing. Very articulate guy. I do not want the collected works of Shakespeare. Everyone's got that. You know what I want?
What?
I want the collected works of Shakespeare, five versions before the final one. Could you imagine?
The rough drafts of Shakespeare.
To be or not to be, that's what I'm wondering. You know, as good as that is, I think I can make that better. But the truth is, our students don't see that. And so, and we don't see that. We see the final works and we think that we can just arrive there. You don't arrive at that great, great gift of art or gift of idea without the requisite failures. And that's what I'm talking about. So I fail all the time when I write and when I speak.
Well, and the really interesting thing about that is the definition of failure. Because what you say as failure, which is maybe having a first draft that's not the best it could be, somebody else might say, that's not failure. Failure is, you know, getting an F on a paper, driving your car, you know, into another car.
That's effective. Failure. No, I'm talking about effective failure and ineffective failure. When you hit another car, that's an example of ineffective failure, unless you come up with a great idea for a bumper that will never, ever crash into someone or something like that. But that's why it's important to realize if you take failure as a point of destination, that's ineffective. If you use it as an intermediate step and you learn something, you're moving.
All right. So, Ed, what would you say is the most important thing? Because I have a feeling that this is going to be a tough concept for people to grasp, just sort of given our training all through school and through life. What do you think is the most important thing for people to really understand about failure?
Well, first of all, if it's a tough concept, they have to read The Five Elements of Effective Thinking. I'd drop
that
in there.
That will help.
Yeah, of course, that will help. And it will certainly, you know, I'd love that, drive sales. But the reality is, to be serious, and this is the point that's so important in education and it's so important in life, there is no greater teacher than one's own mistakes, if we look at it that way.
Say that again.
There is no greater teacher than one owns mistakes if we see them that way. And that's why failing is so important if we use it as a tool to learn and to grow. There, look at you. I stunned Jennifer.
I am speechless.
Thank you.
So
but that's true.
I guess we better stop.
Well, I can keep talking.
All right,
I'll shut up.
Well, Ed, thank you as always for helping us keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown. You can find out more at southwestern.edu and keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.